You can go live whenever, then we'll start around seven. So we are live now, okay, clock ticks seven, I'll call it to order momentarily. I really feel like our first November meeting, the weather's been great up there now. It's going to be positive, this weather's awesome. Okay, I have 7 o'clock, thank you for joining us, if you could rise to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Good evening, everyone, and welcome, thank you for joining us. The one and only November meeting. I'm also understanding that we have some students participating tonight for part of their government class, so welcome and enjoy. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to an administrator or myself afterwards if there's questions that need to be answered, so you know you can attend publicly. I'd also like to welcome our auditors that time of year again, who we will hear from them shortly as they present on their findings for last fiscal year. Mr. Bartlett has been excused. With that said, I'd like to entertain a motion to accept the agenda as presented. Please note, there are two hand-carried resolutions. Resolution number 24, number 25. It's been moved by Kristen, and seconded by Adam. Is there any discussion? Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the agenda, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion is carried 5-0. We're going to jump right into a presentation by our auditors.
Are we okay right here, or?
Whatever is preferred, and if you are comfortable removing your mask while you speak, that is also acceptable.
Thank you.
That is your choice.
You should do that.
All right, very good.
Thank you. We'll try to keep this as brief as possible. My name is Michael Crowley, this is Pam Halloran.
Hello.
We are your auditors. So if you just follow along in the PowerPoint, I think that's probably the easiest.
So this just has some highlights, and we'll try to go through this briefly.
So that first slide talks about the audit report, and it gives you the different segments of it. There's different paragraphs. If you went through and read the actual report, you'd see that. The important one is on slide three there, which is this one slide. Okay. So on page two, that the district received an unmodified opinion, which is the highest opinion we can give. Oh, actually, so congratulations. Then we get into the management discussion and analysis. So that's prepared by management of the district. It kind of gives a reader more of an overview of what took place in a narrative point of view, as opposed to just looking at numbers. There's comparative numbers, so you can actually have numbers from last year there to look at, and there's graphs and charts. So we strongly suggest you take a look at that to get a real understanding of what took place during the year. Very informative. On slide five, which is on page three, kind of a condensed statement of net position government-wide is shown there. What we as auditors are looking for there is that things are consistent. You know, the assets, liabilities are kind of remaining the same. This is the long-term view of the district. So all of your fixed assets are there, all of your liabilities, the bonds, the pension liability, and of course the dreaded OPEB liability, which is causing the district to be have a negative unrestricted net position. So the OPEB is the other post-employment benefits. It's health insurance for not only your district employees that you have currently, but all your retired district employees. So that's quite a large liability, as it is for all schools in New York State. So that's kind of a snapshot of the condensed statement of net position. Then we go through some of the next slide, talks about the different areas of it. So total net assets and deferred outflows were $25.5 million. You can see that there was an increase of about $634,000 over the year before. I won't go through all the different areas there. You can read that for yourself. Some of this cash went down. Again, we're winding through a capital project, so cash is being spent on the capital project. That's where the cash is going down. The other stuff didn't really change dramatically. On slide 7, on page 4, you can see that your capital assets increased $1.2 million over the year before. Again, what we'd expect to see when you're going through a capital project. So your net construction progress and additions were $1.79 million. The district also purchased a new bus for $126,000. Also, a salad bar unit was purchased for $9,000 for the school lunch fund. Depreciation for the district is $682,000, so that reduces the capital assets. So the net of that comes to the $1.2 million increase. The district is involved in two pension plans, TRS and ERS. So you get to report your proportionate share of that liability or asset in the case of TRS. So the district's proportionate share of the pension asset is $438,000, an increase of $135,000 over the year before. There's these strange things called deferred outflows and inflows of resources. Those are related to OPEB and to the pension, so I won't explain everything that's going on, but that's your share of those obligations that are being reported by the different pension systems. On slide 8, at the bottom of page 4, we have liabilities and deferred inflows. They were $42.1 million. That's an increase of about $2.5 million over the year before. There was a decrease in accounts payable, all related to the capital project. Last year, we had some invoices from the capital project that got paid that were on accounts payable. We didn't have that this year. Retainage, we have about $16,000 of retainage on the capital project. Your due to TRS was down about $43,000 from the prior year. So was ERS was down. And I talked before about this when we met. Prior to this meeting, the the salaries are up for both the teachers and your other employees who are in the ERS, but the rates have come down. So actually, that's causing a decrease in the liability from the year before. So that's a good thing. But as we know, those things can change dramatically depending on what the stock market does and so on. Slide 9 on page 5 is the condensed statement of net position. Your net position, the government-wide statements, the long-term view is a negative $16,675,000, all related to the GASB 75, the post-employment. Yes. So that's what's causing that liability is, I believe, in the $32 million range. So it's quite high. There's nothing you can do. You can't fund for it. All districts are the same. They're suffering through the same thing on this statement. Net pension liability. The ERA system has a pension liability. Your share of that is $819,000. Last year it was $604,000. So net position decreased $1.9 million from the year before. The deficit the year before was about $15 million.
Again, I'll do the open.
Right. At the bottom of page 5, slide number 10 gives you a kind of a pie chart of the government activity revenues. Again, we are looking for the pie to be probably close to the same as the year before in terms of proportion, and that's what you're seeing here. Mostly property taxes and state aid. That's where the revenue comes from. On page 6, top there, slide number 11, the revenues are up overall $216,000. Again, you can see that, read for yourself how that breaks out. Nothing dramatic there. On the expenditure side, that's slide number 12, the bottom of page 6. Again, pie chart, we're looking to see that remains the same. Obviously, instruction. That's what we do here. So that's the biggest part of the pie. So that's shown there as well. On page 7, slide 13, So with school districts and most and all governments, we show the expenditures at top because you're providing a service. It's where the expenditures drive everything, and then revenue comes up to make up the difference, either through property taxes or state. So at the expenditure side, we reduce those net expenditures by operating grants that are specific for a function, or in the case of school lunch fund, you charges for services. So there's something called net expenditures and then what's left. So that's what that slide kind of talks about there. We're going to move into the government statement. So they're a shorter term view of the district, and more of the way you manage your district is through the fund statements. They start with the balance sheet. We'll go through some highlights there. So general fund, total fund balance was 2.1 million, a decrease of 236,000 from the year before. Your general fund reserves totaled 860,000. You have a capital reserve, 250,000. That's up about 200,000 from the year before. You set aside 695,000 for next year's expenditures, and your general fund unassigned unappropriated fund balance was 546,000. Page 8, slide 15, then going through the school food service. If you had a positive fund balance of 178,000, you had an increase from prior year of $11,000. So the year before, if you remember, you had a small deficit. This year we had a surplus. Fantastic job. Capital fund balance decreased 1.65. So need to explain that. So the way capital funds work, you spent a lot of money on the capital project in fiscal year 20. So a lot of money went out for that. The way you funded for it was to get a band, which is short-term financing, so that's actually a liability. So that's what's causing this capital fund to have a deficit. So when the capital project is complete, you'll go out for permanent financing, like a serial bond, and then that will bring the deficit will go away once that the serial bonds are recognized kind of as a
other
financial sourcing. Kind of think of it like a revenue item. It ends up on the passes through the revenue. So that will make your capital fund positive, and then it will close out. Debt service fund had $161,000 in it. Going through to the next statement, the statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balance. General fund operating deficit of $236,000. You had revenues and operating transfers about $289,000 over the year before, so did a little better on the revenue side. Expenditures increased $381,000. Got total transfers out of $158,000. Some money went to the capital fund, some went to the special aid fund. General support increased $351,000. Instruction increased $185,000. Transportation decreased. Again, we'd expect to see that with the COVID situation, that transportation costs dropped down a little bit. Employee benefits decreased just $333.
Yep.
There you go, Pam.
Not a typo.
Debt service increased $6,000. On page 9, slide 17, going through these funds, school lunch fund, surplus of $12,000. Again, congratulations there. Last year was a deficit of $14,000. Expenses were down $23,000 from 2019, and revenues were up $3,000. Again, on the capital project, the renovations continue. $1.79 million was expended in the current year. We'll go through the notes rather quickly. So the notes start on page 28 and go to page 65. So if you're kind of tired and want to get or don't want to get to sleep easily, you can read through those notes. But some of the key ones are vested employee benefits. That's shows that's on pages 34 to 35. Talks about what the district policy regarding health insurance for the current and retired employees. This upcoming standards that are going to be coming out. That's on page 43. You can read those over. Note 4 on page 49 is your capital asset details. Note 5 is short-term debt, so that has the two bands that the district has, $1.8 million in the capital fund and 280 some odd thousand in the general fund. Note six is long-term debt. That's on pages 50 to 51. Your note for the pension, TRS and ERS, those are quite lengthy, pages 52 to 59. And again, a quite lengthy note is note nine on post-employment benefits. That's pages 60 to 63. That entire liability is $30 million, so quite high. Commitments and contingencies are on page 64 to 65. Commitments would be contracts you signed with, like for the capital project. Those are kind of disclosed there.
There's also a COVID note disclosure in there as well, explaining that a little bit.
And then there's another report that's on page 10, slide 19. At the top there talks about a report on internal controls over financial reporting and any material weaknesses. So they were the same weaknesses we had the year before. So some journal entries on the required disclosures. And we were at 4.97 on the...
Very close.
On your fund balance, and of course, we need to be at 4%.
And actually, we were down to just one material weakness, so
okay.
So there were two. So
if we could take just a quick minute there. Last year on the yellow book report, we had three significant findings.
We had two material weaknesses and one instance of non-compliance. So this report
the
is...
instance of non-compliance into your fund balance.
Correct.
So this year, we had one material finding. One of non-compliance, which is our fund balance.
Correct.
We've seen tremendous progress in there from a year ago when it was right around 13%.
That's correct.
Correct.
Just slightly over 5%. Very good. Then there's a report on the extra classroom activities, and that's on the cash receipts and disbursements basis of accounting, so you can see where what went in and out of the clubs there. And there's some notes to that. There's the two letters that are kind of stuffed in the front of the report. They're communication letters. And one of them, we just have to communicate again what we found were significant deficiencies, material weaknesses, or non-compliance. So it's the exact same wording in those. And then there's another one that's a board letter, and it lets you know what our responsibilities are, your responsibilities. We would let you know there if we had any disagreements with management, if we had any difficulty getting information. We also kind of summarize the journal entries that we proposed that you make for the financial statements to be stated fairly. And any new standards, we would indicate there what was adopted. Standards were actually delayed a year, some were 18 months due to COVID. So we explained that in that letter as well as in the report. And that's all we have.
Any questions? Well, excellent job. I really like this presentation better than.
We wish we could get away with that too, but no, we appreciate it. We appreciate all the assistance from the district as well for the social distancing here. It's kind of difficult to get in and do old fashioned auditing, but
Steve
did a great job
of sending us the stuff virtually. And
yes.
So fantastic job.
So we were able to perform our good audit from a distance.
Well, we appreciate the board does in the district that you making it in attendance tonight for the face-to-face. That holds value to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're great.
Yeah. Have a good meeting.
Yeah, stay healthy.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, Chair
Safer. Thank you.
As they're leaving, don't we have to accept the audit report?
Yes, it's on the agenda. It should be on the agenda.
Yep, it is on the agenda. Okay, good. I don't recall seeing it, but it's an awful thick agenda, so I do know we have to accept that. And that was a nice presentation. Adam and I met as the audit committee prior. We had some lengthy discussions on certain things. Anybody from the public like to address us? I didn't see it on the agenda.
No.
I know it's in the first draft.
We will get to that at the end, I did pick up on it. We good to go?
Yeah, we're just gonna lock the front door if that's okay.
Yeah.
Because there's no custodian there right now.
Are we in custodians tonight?
I don't believe there's anyone here.
Somebody just walked by there about 5 minutes ago.
Did you?
Somebody did, in a brown shirt.
Okay, okay.
Okay.
All right.
You would, yes, I hope there's custodians here tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad you saw one, I hadn't seen that one, thank you.
So in that.
Who's filling in for Sally tonight? Okay, so we will proceed.
Yep.
Calendar of events. Any additions or corrections?
I have one addition.
Mr. Story, yes.
November 17th at noon on WWNY TV, academic all-star Colton Story will be on the noon news.
Awesome.
So they came and videoed, so the news did not send anyone here, and Colton didn't go there. They did a Zoom interview of sorts, so on November 17th at noon, it's a Tuesday.
Cool. We honor our veterans, there will be no virtual component, so complete day off Wednesday, right?
Yes.
Thank you to all those who have served and served. I'd like to note the Farmers Challenge is kind of going virtual this year. Our good friend Grady Jerome is doing the drive-through, so if you could, check that out. It's prime rib and chicken marsala, money goes to scholarships. I'm gonna take advantage of it. Tedra continues to do a good job at her time. Community of Caring, that's someone close to home.
Yes, I do have two. So I talked about to the family of Margie Jacobs. Mrs. Jacobs, former Belva Henderson teacher, fifth grade teacher, worked here many years. And so our thoughts go out to her family. In the passing of Cliff Parrish, Sally Cole's father, and of course Sally Cole is our district clerk and secretary to superintendent.
I visited with Sally. As good as she can. So Sally, we thank you for everything you do, and our thoughts are with your family. We even still got an email from her amongst it all. So. All right, we move on to the consent agenda. I'll entertain a motion. Moved by Mr. Minor, seconded by Ms. Vaughn. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 5-0. Personnel, creation of the trainer and dispatcher statement.
Move it.
Second. Moved by Mr. Eastman, seconded by Mr. Varney. Any discussion? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Nay. Motion carried 5-0. Appoints at the position that we just created, Becky Thomas. You
move
see
it.
That's gonna be prorated.
Second.
Moved by Roger, seconded by Adam. To be clear, this is not a union position.
It is going to be in the CSEA unit.
And we also still follow civil service law.
Yes.
Okay. So it is a union position. Any other discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 5-0. Is there a motion for resolution number 3? Is there a motion for resolution number 4? Is there a motion for resolution number 5? Is there a motion for resolution number 6? Would anyone like to make a motion to table resolutions 3 through 6 until after an executive session can be had or for the following meeting?
Mm-hmm.
There's been a motion on the floor to table resolutions 3 through 6. Is there a second for said table?
Second.
Second by Tony on the table. Is there any discussion on tabling resolutions 3 through 6? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion is carried 5-0. Resolution number 7, varsity girls basketball coach Daniel Donnie.
Second.
I'll entertain a motion, or a move by Adam, excuse me, and seconded by Kristen. Is there any discussion? All in favor, aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carried 5-0. Volunteer assistant, Mindy Grangie.
Move it.
Moved by Kristen.
Second by Roger.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, aye. All those nay, motion carried 5-0. Appoint junior varsity girls basketball coach Mindy Grangey.
Move it.
Moved by Roger, second by Kristen. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All those nay, motion carried 5-0. Modified basketball girls coach Katie McGrath.
Move it.
Moved by Roger.
Second.
Second by Tony. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All those nay, motion carried 5-0. Appoint cheerleading coach Jessica Winters.
Move it.
Moved by Roger, second by Adam. This is for the varsity program, correct?
Correct.
Any discussion? All in favor, aye. All those nay, motion carried 5-0. Cheerleading assistant coach.
Move it.
Moved by Sarah, which is Sarah Sugden. Moved by Roger.
Second.
Second by Kristen. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All those nay, motion carried 5-0. Okay, the permanent appointment of our food service director. So this is like in layman terms, like a 10-year for a teacher, right? So we're gonna move to appoint her permanently in her position. Has been moved by Kristen, seconded by Adam. Any discussion? Thank you for the hard work, good work Mindy continues to do. I'm glad to see this recommendation here. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All those nay, motion carried 5-0. Appointment of a cleaner, Isaiah Nichols, effective tomorrow.
Move it.
Moved by Adam. I had Adam first. Scott, keeping up with me?
I sure am.
See Sally's, it's hard. Moved by Roger. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All those nay, motion carried 5-0. Substitute nurse Ashlyn David.
Move it.
Moved by Kristen, seconded by Adam. This is good, because I think I remember Ms. Collins talking about how we needed this.
Another sub for our nurse, yes.
Is that the story, if you're ready?
Yes.
A little background?
Sure. Mrs. David graduated from Chamberlain University in April of 2020 with a Bachelor of Science in Nursing. Prior to that, she went to Pomeroy College of Nursing at Charles Hospital, received an Associate in Applied Science in Nursing. Also went to JCC, Associate in Science, and currently is working, I believe, at Samaritan Hospital. Various reference checks, great worker, team player, professional, empathetic, caring, good with nursing skills, et cetera, et cetera. So that's Ashlyn David.
Yeah.
Which is, yep, RN, I don't know if it's on here, but she is a registered nurse.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All those nay, motion carried 5-0. Substitute cleaner Timothy Monroe. Moved by Kristen, seconded by Adam. Scott, when you're ready.
Okay. Mr. Monroe currently is finishing his career as a Cape Corrections Officer at Cape Vincent Correctional Facility. Correction Sergeant at the Cape Vincent Correctional Facility since 1989, so that would be 31 years. And he's finishing, so he's still present. But
interesting. Awesome. Mm-hmm. I know we have another one, so I've seen him getting trained on the busing, Mr. Hansen.
Yep.
They were training yesterday.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good stuff. And, the training was going on while they had a little recognition for Phil and Sally, too, so that was kind of fitting. Mm-hmm. Anyways, any other discussion on Mr. Monroe? Thank you for joining our team. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 5-0. Some tax refunds. There's a handful there for your review. I am. Perceptual. Tony, I thought you were due. Perfect. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 5-0. Tax correction amendment.
Move it.
Second.
Moved by Roger. Excuse me. Second by Kristen. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried 5-0. Sick leave bank request for Melanie Berry. This has been approved by the Teachers Association. It's coming to us for our final approval.
Move it.
Second. Roger, second by Kristen. Is there any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 5-0. permission for the superintendent to sign an MOA with the CSEA.
Second.
Moved by Kristen, seconded by Tony. This is in regards to the position we've created and appointed for support in the bus garage. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 5-0. Permission to enter an agreement to purchase electricity through a cooperative. This is for electricity. This is procedural. Moved by Kristen, is there a second? Seconded by Adam. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 5-0. Likewise, this is the same thing for natural gas. Resolution number 22, entertain a motion that's been made by Adam.
Second.
That's been made by Tony. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 5-0. We do have two hand carry resolutions. Resolution number 24, enter an agreement with Morik. No, I'm sorry, Madison United Bosses. Entertain a motion?
Move it.
By Kristen?
Second.
Good by Adam. Briefly, what is this E-rate?
It's an E-rate process that we use with the RIC, actually through Morik. It's Madison United Bosses, and the RIC processes it for us, and this helps us get more aid. So we have to take it through a process, and this is an annual thing.
Okay. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 5-0. Tax collector's report. Which is our enclosure. Has been moved by Kristen. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Anthony. Any discussion? Yes.
If it's approved, I will need all board members' signature. So if and when we go into executive session, perhaps I can get that before we go, just so nobody screws out before I get the signature.
Yes, and is this the instance, what do we do when there's absentee trustees, absent trustees? We ran into this before.
As long as there's a majority of seven, and there is, there's five, then we just go with that.
Yeah, Mrs. Cole did tell me if anyone's absent, the only people who need to sign are the people present.
Okay, so we've learned that in those situations. Okay, so we will make sure we do that before we leave. Any other discussion? Thank you, Scott. All in favor, aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carried 5-0. I'd also like to entertain a motion to accept and approve Belleville Henderson Central School District annual financial report and audit as of June 30th, 2020, as prepared and presented by Crowley and Hollerhan, our auditors.
Moving.
That's been moved by Adam.
Second.
And seconded by Tony. Any discussion? All in favor, aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carried 5-0. We can go over that afterwards, Scott.
Yep.
All right, so at this time, we can proceed into some reports. What we have first here is the first reading of the policy, Title 10, and sex discrimination.
Title 9.
Title 9, I'm sorry. There's an I before the X.
The law.
Did you make some changes?
Well, the.
Erie One Bosse's or somebody?
There were changes in the law. We've been waiting for the Erie One Bosse's report, sample policy. It came through since our last policy. Scott and I have been through training on this, on the changes. And we also have Ashley and Steve, who will be trained on the changes. When we come back to you in December, we'll provide you with what the second reading changes will be.
Okay, so that's for our review. We'll have a second reading and then move for adoption.
Yes.
Board review, we've got some proposals, meeting minutes are attached. So let's jump into our reports. Mr. McGovern.
So the business office has been working on finishing the audit, so as of right now, I don't have really too much to report on. Definitely have a more detailed report in the next meeting.
Okay, that's understandable. Okay, so we'll jump into, I guess, Ashley, then Scott, then Jane. So Ashley.
this report is titled Administrative Coordinator's Report.
And this is just a press release that the Section 3 put out on November 5th. It tells the dates for winter sports seasons to begin on December 14th and end on February 28th. There's still no guidance on high-risk sports like basketball and competitive cheerleading. This is just saying that, excuse me, I know on December 14th that boys swimming and diving, skiing, bowling, that they could begin practices and then competitions. But again, we still don't have the guidance from DOH or the governor with high-risk sports. Then it shows Fall 2 start and end dates, March 1st, ending April 30th, and then spring sports start dates, starting April 19th and ending June 30th. Again, there's an asterisk with that one because the end of when, if there's, when there will be regions, how that will affect those, the sectional or postseason play, and there is not sectionals for winter or fall sports for the 2020-2021 school year. So that's just the most recent information that I had for athletics.
Everybody read the last part. I think that's what people need to understand. Any questions for Ashley? Mr. Story. Got some plethora of donations here.
Yes.
Good news, positive.
Yep, before I get to that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The January Regents exams have been canceled. So our normal process is for all 11th graders to take English 11 Regents exams in January. There is guidance out, as there was last June, for students to still be able to pass and get credit for Regents exams and all that. So we'll make sure that process is followed. But Ashley's report about Regents exams for January. So I just wanted to know that. But Mr. Allen, yes, you're right. We've gotten some donations recently. And so I just thought it'd be nice to add that to a little report. The Knights of Columbus, thanks to the care of St. Cecilia's Church, are donating 10 new winter coats. We were contacted by them last week, and there'll be 6 boys' coats and 4 girls' coats, so they'll be sending those our way in the near future.
Cool.
The Watertown Elks Club. Normally, the Elks Club in Watertown basically purchases canned and boxed food items for us and for the backpack program. This year, due to COVID, they decided to donate cash, basically a check. So you can see they donated $450 to the backpack program this year, which is awesome. And then I broke down where we are with the backpack program. We are currently serving 13 backpacks, which actually covers 27 of our students. Our current finances, we have received $1,555 since July 1. We spent $1,900, and our cash available on hand is $4,900. Roughly speaking, we spend $400 to $500 every month and a half to 2 months. So, we've got a healthy fund going on, and you can see we have spent about $400 more so far than we've received in donations. That's cash donations. However, many other small monetary and food donations that may not be listed here are also given periodically. We have local churches, students, which I presented before, other family members, Belva Henderson Teachers Association, and various businesses continue to give us the food, canned goods, plus monetary donations. So we thank them for helping out to continue to serve our students, make sure students are well fed over the week.
Did you have a good turnout by chance last week, was it? Like my kids go Monday, Tuesday. Tuesday was like black and white day with red ribbon. You're supposed to bring in a non-perishable item. Did that?
That's a good question. I know the items came in. I know there are items coming in. I didn't I didn't notice how many boxes or anything like that, but yeah, people definitely brought in.
Glad to see, so this backpack program's picking back up a little bit. I know it was kind of a slow start.
Yep.
As far as enrollment for.
It did, in the first month of school, of course, we were quite low. And then we did a solicitation of sorts through Parent Square once that was up and running. And yeah, picked right back up. And over the years, it's been averaging 11 or 12 families, or backpacks, I should say, that are packed. So yeah, it's picked up and it's good.
Okay. Superintendent Collins, I believe we're going to flip second page and we're going to start at number 8. Is that correct?
Yes. So at your table is this report from the Department of Health, interim guidance on mandatory COVID-19 testing in public and non-public schools located in areas designated yellow zones under New York State cluster. So the state has gone through this process where they're looking at COVID in different communities, and if it's the worst cluster would be a red zone, a warning zone would be an orange zone, and then a yellow one would be a precautionary zone. Basically, this presentation is about what if we become a yellow zone. If we become a yellow zone and we are open, then it would be required that we test 20% of our in-school population. And this memo talks about how the Department of Health will provide those to local designated areas to administer. So we could not administer it, but perhaps public health could. And so if that was the case, then we would have to test 20% of the in-school population every week, and it's a different 20% to continue to remain open. Otherwise, we would close until the zone changes from a yellow zone to no color zone. Right now, we're not in a yellow zone, and but we got this guidance today, so we'll explore how would we manage that, because in my opinion, if we can stay open, we should do everything we can to stay open, okay? And I think it would be much easier for a small district like Belleville Henderson. We have, you know, to partner up with someplace like public health to see if we could engage them in doing testing. Then the other part of that would be parents having to cooperate with having their child tested. The most important thing, I think, in that part of the memo is that there's no cost. That's very important. I think when parents have to pay $30 or whatever the cost is, it's been hard on families. So that's it in a nutshell, and I wanted to bring that to the board. It's hot off the press today, and we're going to be meeting with public health to talk more about that. But I do know that Belleville Henderson is very interested in exploring the option of testing in-house to be able to have our students to continue to come to school. So that's one thing. The memo goes into greater detail. I'll read it all to you tonight. I want you to know the capital outlay for 2021 is well on its way. It involves AC units, I believe, in the auditorium and cafeteria areas. There's part of the original school. And on your handout there tonight, you're going to see the process in which that's going to work. State reimbursement of transportation costs. As I shared with you the memo last week, which what is very discouraging is that the governor said to schools, we want you to stay open. We want you to have your bus drivers ready to drive and take people places. We want them their income to continue. And now we're getting a memo from the state that says that school districts may not claim and receive state reimbursement for costs for transportation when students were not coming to school during the closure last year. That's counter to what the governor told us.
this is significant.
Okay. Under.
This, and if I could interject.
Yes, yep.
This is significant, and it's on top of what you've heard from Steve and Jane these, you know, last 6 months. We're getting aid, but they're withholding 20%. We're getting aid, but they're withholding 20%. So you take these things and compile them, and on top of what I believe, and if you read some of the experts, what is ahead of us as far as financial issues, this is significant. We listened to our auditors present tonight about how, you know, your salaries went up for your employees, but your employee retirement contributions and your employee benefit contributions actually decreased. Well, how is that possible? Because the financial markets were doing so good. The increase of that was a percent. Well, I can remember when I first got on here, the percent of those was increasing 10 to 14% a year. And if that happens 2 to 3 years down the road and you're still playing catch up from what is what we were told to do, not that I want to paint a bad picture here, but I want everyone to understand the importance of this.
So it's going to take an act of the governor to change this. And NISBA is joining forces with the New York State Council of School Superintendents to lobby for that. So I want the board to know that NISBA is working on that to get that to change.
And I hope rural schools is too. Remember there.
Yeah, I'm sure rural schools will. Yeah. All those different organizations that work on behalf of schools. But under the current law, school districts may only submit claims for state reimbursement for actual costs incurred in physically transporting students to and from school. So basically, the state aid unit says, hey, under the law, we can only do this. We cannot pay you for last year. And the governor said to us last year, we want everybody to continue to be paid. So we did. Now 1 year later is when you collect that to run your school this year. And that's the transportation aid that now they're saying, the state is saying, but the law doesn't allow it. So in order for us to get this, we need the governor to pass a law to allow it. Okay? So that's another discouraging.
If that doesn't happen, and isn't going to happen, that segues into item number four.
Right, and
we have to think in the future.
Yeah, so you know, we're not quite sure about that, but I'd like to table that topic. And also go to the open meetings law, just so the board should know that that was extended until December 3rd. So we have another 30 days of open meeting laws, which means we operate like this with virtual meetings for the public. So, okay. And that, I'm recommending an executive session for personnel purposes and for legal purpose.
Is there any questions for Jane's report?
I do have some questions about whole testing deal for the COVID.
The question on the floor is in regards to the yellow zone testing.
Yes, yes.
So how is that rapid testing administered? Is that where you're swabbing up the nose, or is that a quick mouth hunt?
It hasn't been explained, but I will tell you personally, my own personal experience is that it is a nose swab, nasal.
Okay.
But I don't know if there's more than one type.
Okay.
And they have not defined that.
Okay.
Depends if New York State's accepted the saliva test as an accepted test yet or not.
Yeah. And again, this came out today. We are going to be meeting with public health in the near future. The county, Jefferson County, and Jefferson County Public Health are working with the Department of Health to study what this needs to look like. And from my perspective for Belleville Henderson, I'm going to be lobbying to see if we can get the 20% testing here. And so we're going to have to study and communicate with parents what that will look like if we can accommodate the testing being done for our school.
Okay.
So that we can stay open. If we're open, our buses are running, our aid's flowing. Open, everybody's working.
Okay, so my other questions, and you know, to ask for when you do this, you know, what if the parents refuse to have their kids tested? You know, they refuse to be in that 20%, and then also what happens if kids do test positive? Is that an automatic like shut down anyway? Or
well, the contact tracing would immediately go into play if there was a positive test. And that would be you know, we'd look at who the the person is near, and then from there, public health would make a call and direct what that should be for, you know, who should be quarantined. And the answer to your first question is, I would think that from my reading of this memo here, it says for those who are in school present. So if someone does not agree to the testing, then they would have to become a remote party. That's, my initial response from what I know about the rules is we'd have to go to remote. And again, we haven't sat down, we haven't met about this, but that's how I would see that.
So hypothetically, we do the testing 20%. I'm one of those parents that says, no, I don't want my child tested.
Right.
So we're in a yellow zone at this time when they start the testing, correct?
Correct.
If you're not a yellow zone, you don't have to do the testing.
Correct.
So we're a yellow zone, I say, no, I don't want my kid tested. So my kid now has to go remote. Then we come out of the yellow zone. My child is allowed to come back?
That's a good question. That's a good question. We'd have to look at that.
Okay.
You know, but again, these are all guidelines that are being developed and interpreted by Jefferson County for Jefferson County.
Okay.
And to my knowledge, we are not a yellow zone in this area.
Okay, thank you.
Now, another piece that I heard today is St. Lawrence County has just gone to an emergency status. Has anybody heard this?
Yeah, it's a clear thing.
Okay. Just so you know, Jefferson County never left that. We have continued to be in one.
Yeah.
So don't panic that they have just done that. They had to have left the emergency status. We never did. So just be aware of that.
Good to know.
Okay?
Good information.
And that happens at the county level.
So no, good question.
That emergency status happens at the county level. That concludes my report.
Are there other questions? How about generic questions? Open up the floor. Anything needs to be researched or taken care of? So Jean has a personnel issue with some legal matters.
Yeah.
We have personnel on the agenda that has been tabled. Because we don't have a coach, they're legally playing, so we need to get an update on that from our last meeting. So I've got three things. Entertain a motion for an executive session to enter at 7:51, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give that to Kristen, a second to Adam. It's at 7:51. When we do, we will declare out of executive session at some point, and we will have an open session, and there may or may not be action taken. There is a possibility the resolution will be removed from the table. There's a possibility there might not be. So that's duly noted. Any other discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 5-0. I just try to keep peace and political.
Yeah.
Also, don't be offended. I'm not going
to
cut you off.
All right. Now, there's another development here. I don't.
Mike Burke.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he called to talk to Ashley. She's going to be able to update you on that. Do you know about Mike?
I indeed do.
Did he call you or what?
He did not call me, but I was made aware that he had spoken to somebody else expressing his interest in all of that again.
Who did he speak to?
Is it confidential?
Yeah.
Well, he apparently had called Michelle Moyer and said that he had obviously heard of the crap storm that's, you know, going on, and how he, you know, regretted stepping out from his position, but I've got all this crap around.
Yeah.
Through. basically that all the stuff that he had been hearing, obviously a lot of things from the community, and he felt like everybody was against him. And, which I understand, you know, and he felt it better if, for him to step down because he didn't think he was gonna keep the position anyway.
Right.
So to try and save face.
Right.
He stepped down.
Right.
And it didn't turn out that, it, you know, it backfired on him,
yeah.
You know, so he regrets that and he would love to work with Kate because he heard Kate was the assistant and
Okay.
He'd like to be back, so. I don't know.
Yeah.
All I know is I have lost all respect for Clint and
well,
I don't know.
He's made life miserable for
yeah.
Ashley.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And it's like he just wants to run the whole district.
Yeah.
And he has no regard for the board, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The way he thinks he can just call.
So I need someone to move from the table. All we want to do is
yeah.
The other one to leave on the table.
Yeah. Okay, CLPC.
Session at 9:23 p.m. At this time, I'd entertain any other motions.
I'd move to take motions 4, 5, and 6 off the table.
Second.
There's a motion on the floor to remove resolutions 4, 5, and 6 from the table. That'll be leaving 3 on the table, and there's a second by Roger Eastman. Is there any discussion or moving from the table? See none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion is carried 5-0. So we will now start with resolution number 4, which has been removed. Appoint varsity basketball volunteer assistant, Kate Costello.
Move.
Moved by Roger.
Second.
Seconded by Adam. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion carried 5-0. Appoint junior varsity basketball coach, Paul Gibbs.
4-0. 4-0.
I'm abstaining from the last one.
That's been a resolution number 4 was approved 4-0-1. I apologize, I cut it short. We'll start over here again with resolution number 5, approved Paul Gibbs, JV coach. It's been moved by Kristen and seconded by Adam. Is there any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 5-0. Appoint our modified basketball coach, Caitlin Costello. Entertain a motion.
Move it.
Moved by Roger.
Second.
Seconded by Adam. Any discussion? All in favor, aye. Opposed, nay. Abstentions?
Aye.
That motion is carried 4-0-1. This concludes our official business. Thank you, Scott, for filling in tonight. Everybody got the signature on the financial statement?
Yeah.
other than that, just want to take a minute. If we look at our goals on the front page of our agenda that we just adopted and put in place at our last meeting, you know, you can easily pick an example of 1 through 4 of what we've done tonight. So I want to keep up the good work. Programs seem to be excelling, and we appreciate everything our faculty and staff does for us to keep us moving in the right direction. It's been a good meeting. We won't reconvene until December unless necessary, so if we don't hear from you or see you, have a happy and healthy Thanksgiving. And I'll entertain for a motion for adjourn at 9:26, and that was with Roger. Seconded by Adam. Any discussion? All favor I.
Aye.
Aye. Motion is carried 5-0. Good evening.